when I first came to Brookhaven.
Stardate, September 5th, the magnitudes of stars. Stay with us.
Stardate is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 p.m. on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate September 5th. The stars look different brightnesses. That's easy to see. But astronomers use a precise system based on magnitudes to indicate the apparent brightnesses of stars. This system originated in the 2nd century B.C., when a Greek astronomer named Hipparchus classified about 1,000 stars into 6 categories of brightness. Hipparchus called the brightest stars first magnitude, and the faintest, sixth magnitude. Well, that system has survived. Even today, the fainter the star, the larger the number used to indicate its magnitude. We see stars with the naked eye down to about sixth magnitude, but the largest modern telescopes can photograph down to below 24th magnitude, more than 10 million times fainter. Stellar magnitudes also come in negative numbers, with minus signs indicating the brightest stars of all. It sounds a little paradoxical, but the brightest star in the sky, Sirius, has a magnitude of about minus 1.5. The brightest planet, Venus, can reach magnitude minus 4. And the Sun is about magnitude minus 26. The measurement of stellar magnitudes is important in astronomy because a star's brightness doesn't depend strictly on its intrinsic luminosity. How bright a star looks also depends on how far away it is from Earth. Thus, measurements of stellar magnitudes give a sound basis for more information about a star's distance and energy output. For this 5th day of September, that's Stardate. Our show is written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip is 78712, and we do welcome your cards and letters with questions on astronomy. We'll try to answer them all. Thank you for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
Play that long, do we, Mike?
Well, no, but why not?
Why not? Extra special treat today for you folks.
We'll make a continuous loop of this music for
you. We can play it all night long. All sorts of things like that.
Well, it's fun music, it really is.
It certainly is. We still don't know what blazes it is.
Or who did it.
It's our little theme here on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Or Radio Free Weekend.
That's the Crawley Juhas theme.
Yes, and I'm Eric Crawley.
I'm Mike Juhas.
And this is another Radio Free Weekend coming at you in stereo.
It's about 4 minutes past 12.
Yeah, and you just heard Stardate. This is Joel Block telling you all sorts of fascinating things. Now you're going to hear us.
Yeah, so don't go away.
Unless you want to. it's a democracy. You can do what you want.
That's right.
But if you choose to stay here, you'll be hearing all sorts of fascinating things from, a couple of things from our past.
A couple of things from our future, too.
A brand new episode of The Tripods. And I understand Don Topeka's on vacation this week.
That is correct.
The Tripods are going on vacation, too.
Ooh.
The only people that don't go on vacation are us.
Oh, boy.
We'll be doing all sorts of things, talking about some things, playing some music, you know, all that type of stuff.
Going on some trips around the world to different islands, maybe.
We'll do anything. Anything that is possible in this world, we will do.
Right.
So stay right where you are.
Eric, do we have music all queued up for the folks at home? Are we going to talk, or what are we going to do?
Oh, we got some music. Right after this. We'll be right back.
butter in my bed, and the food is all my teeth are. Well, I help her with her baggies, for the baggies is so heavy. I hear the plane is ready by the gateway to take my love away. And I can't believe that you're leaving, you're leaving. And it's getting me so. It's getting me so.
Over regained control of 209er.
What is it, Doctor? What's going on?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything like this since the Anita Bryant concert. What was it we had for dinner tonight?
Well, we had a choice, steak, fish.
Yes, yes, I remember. I had lasagna.
Chicago, this is Flight 209er. We're in trouble. We've got to have all traffic below us cleared, and I want a priority approach and landing in Chicago.
Captain Over is showing the symptoms of the epidemic as Elaine enters the cockpit with the news.
Captain, after room, Mr. Hammond ate fish, and Randy said there are five more kids, and they all had fish, too.
Yeah, the co-pilot had fish. What did the navigator have?
He had fish.
All right. Now we know what we're up against. Every passenger on this plane will have fish for dinner. We'll become violently ill in the next half hour.
Just how serious is it, Doctor?
Extremely serious. Starts with a slight fever, dryness of the throat. As the virus penetrates the red blood cells, the victim becomes dizzy. Begins to experience an itching, a rash. From there, the poison goes to work on the central nervous system, causing severe muscle spasms, followed by the inevitable drooling. At this point, the entire digestive system collapses, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence, until finally the poor bastard is reduced to a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
An heroic Captain Over has energy only to utter one final order before passing out.
Automatic pilot.
Automatic pilot. There it is.
I'll go back to the passengers.
Come in, 209. This is Chicago. Flight 209. Come in, please.
This is Elaine Dickinson. I'm the stewardess. Captain Over's passed out on the floor, and we've lost the co-pilot. Navigator, too. We're in terrible trouble. Over.
Roger, Elaine. Roger, I read you. This is Steve McCroskey at Chicago Air Control.
Get back to you in a minute. Hold all takeoffs. I don't want another plane in the air. When the 508 reports, bring it straight in.
Yes, sir.
Put out a general bulletin to suspend all meal service on flights out of Los Angeles. Tell all dispatchers to remain at the post. It's going to be a long night. How about some coffee, Johnny?
No, thanks.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. I want the best available man on this. A man who knows that plane inside and out and won't crack under pressure.
How about Mr. Rogers?
Hit me, Rex Kramer.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your stewardess speaking. We regret any inconvenience the sudden cabin movement might have caused. This is due to periodic air pockets we encountered. There's no reason to become alarmed, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your flight. By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane? Excuse me, sir. There's been a little problem in the cockpit.
The cockpit? What is it?
It's the little room in the front of the plane where the pilots sit. But that's not important right now. You see, the first officer is ill, and the captain needs someone to help him with the radio. Do you know anything about planes?
Well, I flew in the war, but that was years ago. I wouldn't know anything about it.
Would you go up, please?
The stewardess said... Both pilots.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Doctor, I've checked everyone. Mr. Stryker's the only one.
What flying experience have you had?
Oh, I flew single-engine fighters in the Air Force, but this plane has four engines. It's an entirely different kind of flying, altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of flying.
Mayday, what the hell is that for?
Mayday? Why, that's the Russian New Year. You know, we'll have a big parade and we'll serve hot or dirt.
Back in Chicago, Rex Kramer arrives at the dispatch office.
All right, Steve, let's face a few facts. As you know, I flew with this man Stryker during the war. He's going to have enough on his mind without worrying about those times when things weren't so good.
Right now, things aren't so good.
Put Stryker on the speaker.
Okay, use my radio there. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
You can work him direct from here, Captain.
Thanks. Stryker? Stryker, this is Captain Rex Kramer speaking.
Yes, Captain Kramer. Read you loud and clear.
Right. It's obvious you remember me. So what do you say you and I just forget about everything except what we have to do now?
Let's not kid each other, Kramer. You know I've never flown a bucket like this. I'm going to need all the luck there is.
Stand by, Stryker. My one hope is to build this man up. I've got to give him all the confidence I can. Stryker, have you ever flown a multi-engine plane before?
No, never.
Shit. This is a goddamn waste of time. There's no way you can land this plane.
Have a hold of yourself. You got to talk him down. You got to.
Route him into Lake Michigan. At least he'll avoid killing innocent people.
You're the only chance they've got.
All right. Stryker, you listen close. Flying a plane is no different than riding a bicycle.
Oh, no.
Just a lot harder to put baseball cards in the spokes.
Chase, give me Captain Over's wife on the phone. We better let her know what's going on.
Chief, this weather bulletin just came off the wire.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Back in the cockpit.
Dr. Rumick says the sick people are getting worse and we're running out of time.
I've got to concentrate. I've got to concentrate. Hello? 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 Echo! Echo! Pinch hitting for Pedro Borbone. Manny Mota. Mota. Mota.
And in Chicago Dispatch.
This is going to be a real sweat. Gunderson, let me know when you get anything.
Got a cigarette, Nels?
I can't take much more of this. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines. Johnny, how much more coffee?
No, thanks. Chief, these reporters won't leave without a statement.
How much longer can those passengers hold out?
Half an hour, 45 minutes.
Who's flying the plane?
One of the passengers. But he's an experienced Air Force pilot who flew during the war, so there's no cause for alarm. Henshaw, take over. What kind of plane is it?
Oh, it's a big, pretty white plane with red stripes and curtains in the window and wheels, and it looks like a big Tylenol.
Shayna, they bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. I say, let them crash.
How are the passengers doing?
I won't deceive you, Mr. Stryker. We're running out of time.
Surely there must be something you can do.
I'm doing everything I can. And stop calling me Shirley. Randy, are you all right?
Oh, Mr. Rumack, I'm scared. I've never been so scared. Besides, I'm 26 and I'm not married.
Now, we're going to make it. You've got to believe that.
Dr. Rumack, do you have any idea when we'll be landing?
Pretty soon. How are you bearing up?
Well, to be honest, I've never been so scared. But at least I have a husband.
But suddenly in the cockpit.
Stryker, that plane can't land itself. It takes a pilot who can handle pressure.
He's off, Rex. He hasn't flown for years. It's not his fault. It happened to any pilot.
It happened to Barbara Stanwyck.
Pushing too hard. It might break. I remember who you're dealing with.
Nick, Pete, Jared, there's a fire in the barn.
That's right. I can't take the pressure. I was crazy to think I could land this plane. I don't care. I don't have what it takes. I'd be better off with someone who's never flown before.
I don't want to talk about it.
Bad news. Fog is getting thicker.
And Leon is getting larger.
A dejected Ted Stryker sits alone in the rear of the plane. Again the victim of his haunting past and the loss of George Zitz. A friendly shadow looms over him, and Stryker turns.
I know what you're going to say, so save your breath.
No.
I never could understand the ending to that film.
What did he ever say, anyway?
I don't know, but that's that's a part, anyway, of the soundtrack to
Airplane.
The motion picture of the 20th century Airplane, of course.
I find that, I think, the most funniest. The funniest
motion
picture.
You have a way with words.
Yes, don't I? The funniest motion picture I've seen in many a year.
Well, I didn't see it, so...
Really? Well, you can see it when it comes out on cable.
One of the strangest records I've heard in a while. Whoa! Trying to start up again. Just turned it off totally. Take the needle off. There we go. No more problems there. Before then, we heard from the Motors off an album called "Approved by the Motors" and "Airport."
We did.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
And we might be wondering why suddenly this music about airplanes and soundtracks to airports, or maybe the other way around. Well, it sort of has something to do with the summertime, which this week seems to be leaving us, as you know, insofar as school is beginning again.
Well, the birds are still chirping.
Not anymore.
Oh.
Not the birds.
You can't do that to birds.
Yeah, you're right. There they are.
Bring them up a little bit more. I like hearing birds. Not that loud!
Not that.
That's better, yeah. I feel like I'm in an aviary.
But I still haven't tied in why airports have to do with summer. Well, for me, anyway, airports had a great deal to do with this summer because I stayed in them for a long time sometimes.
Oh, really? You couldn't afford to trip back?
Well, almost was that way, Mike. It almost was. But no, I was waiting for people to drive back to Long Island and take to all sorts of fascinating places and, you know, meet people. That
such
kind of
as
thing.
Cove Neck.
Cove... No, I never went to Cove Neck.
Is there such a place?
I don't know, but I never went there if there was.
There's a Mill Neck.
I didn't go to Fisher's Island. I didn't go anywhere else.
But you did go to Montauk.
I went to Montauk just the other day, in fact. That was interesting.
Did you go to Flanders?
Flanders. I passed by it. I didn't stop in it. But, yeah, Flanders is there.
Pond
a lot Quag. Of towns out there. A lot of towns. You see signs for these things that, you know, you don't realize.
Matinacock?
Mattituck.
Yeah, too.
Yeah. But that's how I spend my summer. That's how I spend my summer, driving people around in this little limousine out to Long Island. And now this week, actually on Monday, is the last day I'll be doing it. So it will be something that I look back on and say, well, gee, that was interesting. But now on to something else.
Going back to school.
Going back to school. In a way, going back to school is sort of, I don't know, it's going to be kind of a vacation. From working. Because you have very long days and long nights. It can be quite tiring sometimes. But again, very interesting. You meet a lot of people, talk about interesting things.
You're not going to be making any money directly by going
to
school, either.
That's true. That's one thing. But I've grown accustomed to that before. I can do it again.
Yeah.
You know. But,
You have enough money saved up, you can buy me pizzas for the rest of the year.
Well, I can pay you back anyway. I think I already did that, didn't I? Did I pay
you
back for all the pizzas you bought me?
You paid me all back, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So
we'll start afresh tonight.
Okay.
I believe the pizza company that we deal with is not under suspension anymore. Suspension has been lifted, has it?
Yeah.
I'm looking over at our official book. Yeah, it has been lifted 2 weeks. Okay. Fine. Then we can go back to them maybe a little bit later on while we have our album side.
What are we going to get, a Latvian pizza tonight or a Lithuanian?
Lithuania would be nice, but Latvian I'll settle for.
Yeah.
Just not Estonian, please.
Okay?
So I just, you know, personal taste, I don't like Estonian pizzas.
Why not? Are there anything like Astorian pizzas from
you like
Astoria?
Anchovies, Mike?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Rest my case.
You like Estonian.
That has nothing to do with
you
it.
Like you like anchovies, eh?
Yeah. So what did you do this summer, Mike?
Oh, this summer I worked. I hardly had any time off to go to the beach.
Hardly any time, huh? How many times do you think you went to the beach all summer?
Maybe about, well, to the ocean maybe about 10 times, which isn't really enough, for me at least, by my standards. For a while there, June, end of June and beginning of July, most of July, I was going down to the local beach every night after work, going for a quick dip.
Uh-huh.
I started a saltwater aquarium 2 weeks ago, too.
Yeah, what did you tell the folks about that a little bit? It's kind of an interesting story behind this.
Well, this one Saturday, I bought myself a tank, 29-gallon tank. I, you know, filled it up with some sand and rocks and some pebbles. And I had a hermit crab and a bunch of snails and some seaweed and stuff like that. I was going to start a saltwater aquarium Sunday night it was. A couple of Sundays ago, I got it half-filled with water. And I came to the station, I did some stuff, and I went home. And here I am trying to go to sleep, which I had to try to get accustomed to going to sleep with this pump pumping this water constantly into the aquarium.
Yeah, I have one of those ones. It makes a lot of noise.
Yeah, it made a lot of racket. Plus, it splashed water all over the room. But in any event, about 1:30 in the morning, I hear this crack.
Uh-oh.
And I hear this trickle, and it turns into a waterfall. And
a little added bonus.
Yeah, it really was. Niagara Falls in my very own home. So,
I bet the hermit crab didn't go for that too much.
Well, no, actually, not really. Although he's still alive to this very day, I had to find a way to contain all this water that was leaking all over the place.
First of all, being taken out of your original habitat, which I guess was somewhere around here in the
yeah,
water.
Yeah, it was Long Island Sound, yeah.
And then being put in someone's bedroom and then being spilled out through the
tank. Well, no, he didn't get spilled out. He just didn't sieve through the crack there.
Oh, but still, he lost all that water.
Yeah, but I caught most of the water and I left him sitting in a bucket for the next day.
But he gave you dirty looks all day long.
Yes, he did. I had to take him out and, you know, just show him that someone loved him, honey.
Wow, so how does it stand now?
Well, the hermit crab is still quite alive, and I bought myself a new tank, and I had filled it up with some more rocks and sand and, you know, stuff, and I pulled a crab out that died, sadly, today, and all the brine shrimp ate up all the seaweed.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I have bare rocks now that used to have all the seaweed on them.
Yeah.
And
wait, brine shrimp. Now, I think I remember something a few years back when
these little itsy bitsy things.
When I was in junior high school, I remember this. I fell for everything there was. There was an ad in the newspaper, one of those Sunday edition type things, and it said, "Now you can get these amazing sea creatures." I think they called them. I don't know what they called them. Something funny.
Sea monsters. Miniatures.
It wasn't sea monsters.
Like Hummels,
you know?
It was
something with the sea in it. It wasn't sea lions, because they really exist. But something, you know, cute.
Yeah.
A cute type of a name. And they told you to send, like, 50 cents for a little booklet on how you can start your own, you know, sea monster colony. So I sent away for it. I got a little book, and it explained to me how I could have these wonderful little creatures who dance all over the place, who even get into fights over one another. They get into, like, boxing matches. They swim upside down. They get depressed. They go down to the bottom of the tank. They look at you through the glass. You can name them, but you have to name them the right things or else they get upset.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a fool, I sent about $5 to these people to send me these things, and well, they sent me this little packet that I was supposed to pour into a glass of water, and I did it. The water turned green. Then I poured all these eggs in,
uh-huh.
Waited about 2 weeks, and they hatched, and these little tiny things were swimming around. It looked like they were doing the backstroke.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years later, I found out I had bought nothing but a couple of brine shrimp. It was the craziest thing. But that is what they look like. They're very tiny. And
yes, they're almost microscopic.
Yeah, they swim backwards.
But mine are getting big, and some of them have big stomachs from eating all that seaweed.
That's right. They do look like that. Some of them change color, in fact.
Yeah, in fact, I have little worms in there, and I've got some snails, other mollusks. I had a clam in there, a little baby clam. That washed up one night, but one of the crabs got hungry and ate it.
Oh.
And I got a little oyster that also washed up.
Oh.
So I saved those two things from extinction. Well, one of them got eaten anyway.
Yeah,
but nobody ate the oyster yet. I guess nobody. And I got barnacles. Barnacles are really fun to watch because they have like this one little hand that kind of like goes out and fans through the air or the water.
Uh-huh.
It's like kind of like a loon flying. As we discussed a few weeks.
We gotta talk about loons again.
Yeah.
It's my desire to see a loon at some point in my life.
Well, you ought to go up to Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island, New Hampshire. They have loons up there that swim in, that fly in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, they fly underwater. That's according to Margie.
Whatever you're into, you know.
Yeah.
Flying in the water.
So that's the story of my aquarium.
Well, it sounds like you're going to prosper.
If I can find a way to... I have to keep renewing my seaweed to keep the brine shrimp happy.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a life's little responsibilities. But Are you planning on more expansion?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some fish in there now.
Fish, yeah. Fish are good. They swim in water.
Yeah.
You can get some really...
They don't fly in the air, though.
No, they don't.
Some do.
Some do, in fact.
Some are famous for jumping out of one's aquarium and onto one's rug.
And some are, you know, famous for biting people, too.
Yeah, in fact, I was diving for some stuff the other day. What I usually do is just, like, I hold my breath and I go underneath and I'm looking for hermit crabs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this fish, I guess it was a fish, because I don't think crabs can move that fast. This fish came up and it bit me in the arm and took off.
Really?
Yeah.
Fish don't usually do. Well, how bad a bite was it?
I couldn't find it on my arm afterwards, but it hurt. It made me come out of the water. Yeah.
Wow. It might have been an eel, you know.
It could be. It didn't sting. It didn't, like, feel like a shock.
Well, you've been bitten by a jellyfish and not a regular fish.
Yeah, I did get stung by a jellyfish this year.
Stung by a jellyfish. Did you actually see the jellyfish biting you?
No. No, I just felt it as I went past, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you've had some contact with the marine life.
With the marines, yes.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting. I haven't had that much of a contact. I've had more, you know, contact with just regular people over this summer.
Well, I guess you can classify a lot of them as real slimy jellyfish anyway.
Yeah. You know what I found? It's interesting. A lot of people, you know, we end up talking about various things, about jobs and school and, you know, airplanes and things like that. And something I've noticed that seems to be increasing this year and more than other years is that people are much more concerned about how much income they bring in, you know.
Oh, really?
Virtually every penny counts. I was talking to this one gentleman the other day. I think he was from Glen Cove or something.
Uh-huh.
And he was, you know, explaining to me his experiences. I told him I was going to school now. And he said, well, you'll find when you get out of school that you're no longer judged on your grades, you know, on how, whether you get an A or a B or a C or whatever.
That's very true.
But you're instead judged on your net profit and your benefits and everything else. Now, I just thought that was pretty sad if people, you know, are forced to think that way.
But seriously, who cares about grades?
Who cares about grades? Who cares about, you know, income?
Yeah, who cares about income, really? I mean, when you come down to it, are you happy?
Right, and how do you get happy? By just getting as much as you can out of life.
For some, it's money.
Yeah, for me, I just don't see how money can... it has something to do with it. I want to be comfortable with, you know, a little bit of cash flowing in. That's nice. But if you're obsessed by it, if you're obsessed by anything, it sort of loses all enjoyment.
That's very true.
So I felt like saying that to him, but it would have taken too long.
Yeah.
We're almost at the airport anyway.
I know a fellow who's been offered all sorts of fabulous jobs, and jobs with company cars and benefits galore, and he's turned them all down and continues to work where he works now, being abused by the company. And
what's his reason?
He doesn't want the money. He doesn't care.
What's his reason for staying, though?
He doesn't mind. he likes being
He just doesn't mind, or he likes it. There's a difference.
Well, I guess he doesn't really mind all that much.
Yeah. Well, I guess that sort of means he likes it.
Yeah.
I like change, you know. Don't get me wrong. I like to do different things.
Yeah, I figure a new job every 6 months and you ought to be happy.
Right, something like that. I like diversity, but...
Except after having about 9 years' worth of jobs, 18 jobs in 9 years, your next employer is going to say, well, you can't hold on to a job very well, can you?
But you do have an impressive resume.
Yeah.
Or maybe even plural by that time.
Yes.
But I think the more jobs you get, the more experience you get in different things. If you get the same type of a job each time, that's not really, you know, accomplishing anything. But if you try something different every year or two, and still keep in touch with the people who you work with, you know, you don't really lose anything.
Right.
And at the same time, you don't stagnate, which is the most horrible thing, I think, that can happen to somebody.
That happens. It sure does.
Oh, it happens all over the place.
We kid you not.
Now, I only
did
this...
In fact, my aquarium was starting to stagnate the other day until I got some fresh water.
There's a lesson to be learned there.
Somewheres.
But I only did this for the summertime, but there are people there who've been doing it for years, and they have no idea when they're going to stop.
Oh.
It's just, I don't know, it seems to me, maybe they view it differently, but it just seems to me to be the same thing over and over again. I'm going crazy now.
You know when you're going to stop.
I'm stopping Monday.
Uh-huh.
2 days after tomorrow, I am finished.
Yeah.
And,
you're working. Did you work today?
I'm working right now, in fact.
Oh.
Which is why we're on tape tonight.
Oh, you weren't supposed to say anything.
No, I figured, what the hell, you know. We are on tape.
Well, actually,
sure.
Today's Tuesday, then.
today is Tuesday. That's when we taped it. There's no reason to tell the folks that, though. That doesn't do them any good. But in case they want to call us up, well, you know, we'll listen, but we won't talk because we're on tape.
Well, we can't listen. We will talk.
Oh, we can listen through the, I mean, you know.
Call us up next week.
Through the airwaves. We'll hear you.
Save a dime or a nickel or a quarter or whatever it happens
talk
to be.
Talk to our studio engineer. He's just sitting there watching the tape spin around.
No, he's not even doing that. He's probably listening to records.
In the other studio.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the other studio and you hear us now, get back into that other studio.
Be prepared to answer some phone calls.
That's
right. The listeners at home are going to call 246-7901.
There they go. There go the phones already. I can see them. Don't tell me I don't see
them. It's your chance to talk to a studio engineer, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And ask him to tell the truth about us. Don't ask too much. You know, not the personal stuff. That's not cool.
What's Eric Corley really like? Does he really wear green boxer shorts?
I don't want to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Where do those announcements come from?
I don't know, but out of the sky somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone's playing games.
I'll see.
All right, we have various little tidbits coming your way.
We've got some odds and ends.
Odds and ends from months past.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some brand new stuff coming up about a week or two that we'll be working on.
Oh, you mean like in special programming?
Things like that, yes.
Ooh.
All sorts of new and different things that we'll be doing on this program.
Oh, we will be?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to still be on the air then?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
We'll be on the air all the time.
That's good.
20 years from now.
We will. Suppose you get a job and move to Arizona. What, are you going to send yours in by satellite or something?
We'll figure something out.
Yeah,
by then, the technology should be advanced enough that it won't make a difference where we are.
Well, Arizona is a growing, you know. Hey.
You know what else is a growing place? I found this out over the summer. Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes to Texas and comes back and says, wow, the jobs here are amazing. The cost of living is so low, you can buy a house for $5. Oh, there are jobs all over the place. People are knocking on your door asking you to work for them. You don't have to know anything.
That's very true.
Oh, it's really amazing. It makes you think, should I go down to Texas? But I figure there's got to be something wrong with it. There's got to be some big major flaw. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon.
Yeah, you know what it's going to be.
They're going to suddenly discover everybody turns green after 20 years.
No, that's not what it is.
What?
You know, when everybody was moving to California and there was this mass exodus to Silicon Valley and all that.
Silicon Valley?
Yeah. That's where all the electronics concerns are.
I thought that was a natural name.
Yeah, well, they filled in these places like Sunnyvale and, you know, all this. But, you know, California was just about to fall into the sea.
Ooh.
You know, by the San Andreas Fault. I figure in another 2 or 3 years, if people continued to go out there at the rate they were, California would have fallen off.
Wait a minute.
But no, luckily, a lot of people started moving out towards Florida and stuff.
Wait just a minute. Are you telling me that people moving out there will cause California to fall into the sea?
You better believe it.
And just what are your sources?
Prominent geologists of our time.
And now, so?
I have facts to prove this, too. You've heard of San Andreas Fault, right?
Yes, I've heard of that.
And you remember when the most recent earthquakes were?
Yeah.
There was a couple of big ones a couple of years ago. That's when people started, the exodus ended. About the time of the last earthquakes. People saw earthquakes happening, and they said, why do I want to move to California? Earthquakes are happening.
Right.
Instead, everybody moves away from California and into Florida.
Okay, fine.
And now, you know what's happening in Florida?
It's sinking.
Sinkholes. Sinkholes all over Florida.
Wait,
you remember
that's happening in Texas.
Sinkholes. No.
I heard of a big hole in Texas last year.
And there's a yellow rose in Texas, too.
That's true as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my fault, though.
Yeah. But anyway, that is happening. So that's what's going to happen with Texas. It's going to fall into the Gulf. Everybody moves to Dallas.
Wait, no, you mean Florida.
No, Texas. Florida
you said the sinkholes
is
were in Florida.
Sinking. Yes, they are. Florida is sinking. Texas is just going to roll over into the Gulf. It's going to slide off all those...
Oh, that's all.
The oil in those refineries is going to leak out, and the whole bulk of Texas is just going to fall into
Well, as long as you got your crystal ball out there, what's going to happen to New York, and especially Long Island?
Oh, boy.
And throw in Connecticut, too, as long as they're out there.
Well, Connecticut's going to continue to prosper. Long Island is going to continue to be a dead-end street until we get a bridge or bridge-tunnel combination built.
Now, wait a minute. It sounds for a second there that you're really in favor of having a bridge built.
Well, it does sound that way, doesn't it?
Interstate traffic travel through our island, going over to Connecticut and Rhode Island and Boston and such.
Yeah, it does sound that way, doesn't it?
It does, so...
So watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, you know, consider it. I mean, well, right now, Long Island is a dead end.
Yes.
Is it
it's
not?
There's no way
to get to Fisher's Island than by ferry.
Two ferries.
Right.
From Long Island.
One's
to Connecticut. But I prefer to think of Long Island not so much as a dead end, but as a cul-de-sac.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh, a cul-de-sac.
Well, that sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
A cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
So it keeps the unwanted people out. If you go to any town on the north end of the island, you know, say to the east, the North Fork, or even the north end of the South Fork, or even the south end of the north, you know, every part of that part of the island, people will say, they don't want anybody else here. Go away. Get out of here.
That's right.
I mean, they're really firm about that, and they'll back it up, too, with weapons.
But who proposed to have a bridge in that part of Long Island anyway?
Probably somebody
who
lives in California.
Nobody. Yeah, that could be, too.
Well, wasn't there a plan for an Orient Point bridge at one point?
There may have been.
Hmm.
How far is it from Orient Point to the Connecticut shore?
It depends where you're heading.
Oh, well, the nearest point.
I think about 15 miles or so.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's 18 miles from Port Jefferson to Bridgeport.
Yeah, because somebody just swam it.
True. And someone's going to swim it again, I think.
A couple of people are swimming it all the time, yeah.
That's part of that Long Island Sound Festival.
Yeah.
Which is going on.
Later today, we're supposed to see balloons fly from East Norwalk to Long Island, right?
Hey, I'll be watching for that. Balloons.
Yeah, that's Saturday today.
Yeah, balloons.
Yeah.
I once saw a balloon rising above New York City.
Really?
It was a horrible day. Well, I mean, it was a very long day. I always said I wanted to see a sunrise in New York City, but not the way I saw it that day.
You were in a balloon?
It was awful. No, I wasn't in a balloon. I've never been up in the sky except on the Empire State Building.
You've never taken an airplane ride?
No. I've driven so many people to airports and back, but I've never been on an airplane.
Geez, I must confess, the only airplanes I've ever been on are these little private jobs.
I wouldn't go up in
those. You throw them $10 and they sightsee for 20 minutes.
I don't feel safe in those for some reason.
Oh, it's really wild. The first one I ever rode on, the pilot, was a 60-year-old woman.
Like I said.
it was really a nice ride, though.
It was a nice ride, but I don't know.
I really
Something
got
like
into
that.
It. Yeah.
I like to be in control of my own destiny, you know.
If I'm
driving a car, I feel that way.
Yeah.
Just grab the wheel.
Yeah, just grab the steering wheel in the airplane. She won't mind too much. Just knock her out, you know. It was really a lot of fun, though. I really enjoy flying in those little...
You didn't let me finish my story.
Oh, go ahead.
I was telling a
story.
Well,
why don't you turn my microphone off and be rude about it?
You intercepted it with yours, because I don't do things like that. My story that took place in New York City about... I guess it was more than a year ago. It was actually 2 years ago. Yeah, it was more than 2 years ago. In July, I parked my car in the city, and a friend of mine and myself were walking around, taking in the sights, you know, enjoying the nightlife. And we came back to my car at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and guess what?
What?
It wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Somebody, some nice person who had a tow truck, decided that it was parked too close to a fire hydrant. And so they did me the favor of moving it to the other side of Manhattan Island, over by the Hudson River. They have a place where you can pick up your car there. And then we found out about this at 2 o'clock. We had a little ride from a police car over to the middle of the island.
Oh, they were nice enough to give you a ride.
Well, I told them that the car was stolen because I didn't believe that it was parked too close to anything.
Was this your old 66 bomb?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
May she rest in peace.
Did you finally get rid of that thing?
Yes, I did. I sold it for as much as I got it for.
Good.
Even though it's not running. But anyway, we both went over to this place where they have all the cars, and we waited 3.5 hours for it to open, sitting on the banks of the Hudson River, and we watched the sunrise over Manhattan. Boy, what an awful day that was. We paid them about $75, $80 or something. We had to pay them storage for the time that we were waiting, too. And then we drove back home, and I proceeded to fight the thing in court.
Did you win?
Yes, I did.
Did you get all your money back?
Yes, I did.
Why did you win?
Because the guy who wrote the ticket never showed up to court. Yes, those things happen sometimes.
Mostly, I think.
Yeah, but I had photographs and charts and everything. I was ready, even if he did show up.
Good, good.
Don't think I would have gotten anywhere, but, it was an adventure.
It always helps to be prepared.
My goodness.
Probably while you were in the courtroom, though, they probably found your car parked too close to a fire hydrant and towed it away again?
No. In fact, there's an interesting story there. I took a train in.
I
parked my car in the Port Jefferson train station.
And it got towed away from
there. When I got back, there was a ticket on it because I wasn't a commuter. At least I didn't think I was.
Oh.
You have to have the commuter sticker somewhere.
Oh, yes.
And that was really funny.
Did you pay that one?
I would rather not talk about
that.
Exactly
that means no.
But that was a very interesting period, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see another sunrise in New York City, but a better one. One under more cheerful circumstances.
Yeah. Like on the banks of the Hudson River on the Connecticut side.
That would be nice.
Palisades or...
I'd like to see a sunrise in... on the corner of Maine, where the sun first strikes the United States.
On the corner of Maine? Oh, Maine. I thought you were thinking of Main Street, New York.
No.
Maine, the state.
There must be a Main Street in Maine.
There must be. M-A-I-N-E?
You know what I really get a kick out of is going into these towns all over Long Island. There's a Main Street, of course, and there's always a Maple Avenue somewhere.
Yeah.
I love standing on the corner of Main Street and Maple and just saying, hey, I'm on the most... typical street corner in the world. Maine and Maple.
I remember one day being at that very same Port Jefferson Railroad station that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And three women, I guess, had come out from New York City. And they were, you know, saying how Port Jefferson is such a hick town, you know.
Ooh.
And how small it was.
Them is fighting words.
I'll bet you they even have a Main Street, is what one of them said. I said, well, you see that street right over there? That's Main Street.
Oh, no, we don't want to get them in trouble. I wonder why that was named Hicksville.
After a fellow named Hicks.
Oh, was that the reason?
Yeah, I forget his first name or his claim to fame, but there was a fellow named Hicks.
I thought Lindbrook was an interesting name.
Mm-hmm, yeah, me too.
You know what I saw a couple of weeks ago, actually, that I always wanted to see? I was over in the village of Amityville, and I saw the Amityville Horror.
Ooh.
Yeah, there it was, the house...
of ill repute. Oh.
That the book and the film and everything else came from. And I'll tell you, it looked like a scary house. It really did. And there's always a couple of cars parked there looking. The funny thing is somebody lives there now, and they get very annoyed when people stop in front of their house and point and stuff.
Gee, I don't know if I'd like to live in a house that had all these atrocities committed in it.
Now, nobody in the neighborhood believes those stories, of course. And, in fact, down at the end of the corner on Main Street, on the side of a building is painted in big letters, the Amityville Hoax, and there's an arrow pointing down the street this way. So, The people, I've met a few people in Amityville, they don't believe it either.
Uh-huh.
Yep, Long Island is a fascinating place.
I'll say
no
it.
No doubt about it.
It's not really a dead end, but it is.
Yeah, that's why when you say it's a dead end, I kind of, you know, there's two ways of looking at
it. Yeah, it took you a good half an hour to say that.
It's, well, a dead end as far as cars go, but it's only the beginning for boats. That should be Long Island's new saying. Just put that in bumper stickers or something.
Just ask the Andrea Doria.
True. Very true. Have they brought that back yet?
The safe, yeah. They brought the safe back.
Yeah, and they're going to be opening that in a live time. They might have already done it by the time this is aired.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. They consult your local newspaper for details.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the folks don't want to hear us talk. It's a Friday night. It's a Saturday morning.
That's right, and...
what is it? It's up to you.
It's Saturday morning.
Okay.
Saturday morning, and, of course, all sorts of good things are coming your way.
Like the tripods. They're coming in within a half an hour.
Tripods are coming. Rob Zizer should be in at 3 o'clock.
He should be.
If he's not, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Big trouble.
Oh, yeah. Lister at 12 noon. Tahira at 11 o'clock in the morning with Pakistani music. Lister with reggae, and Felix at 3:30 with salsa.
Aua.
Yeah, Jazz Alive at 7. I forgot the Haitian music at 6.
Right.
And Saturday is such a fun day.
Who's doing jazz on the air? Steve Floberg?
Well, Flyberg. I think Steve Flyberg is back.
Yeah, he's back from his trip from...
In fact, he's looking at me right now through the window.
Really?
Yeah. Come on in, Steve. Steve, I wanted to say a few words to the folks here. Steve just got back from a trip around the United States. And if you had one word to sum that trip up, Steve... what would it be?
One word.
One word.
Fantastic.
Fantastic, he says.
I heard, yeah.
His trip across the United States was fantastic.
Fantastic.
Okay, we'll have more details on that as they come in later on. And, of course, Steve will be...
did he bicycle or did he drive?
He drove, he was driven, and he rode in the car. That's what he told me.
Oh.
Steve, you'll be doing jazz on the this Saturday, right? He looks kind of mystified.
I think so.
He thinks he will be.
Plan.
He thinks he'll be doing jazz on the air tomorrow night at, tonight at 9 o'clock.
Right.
So listen for that.
Yes. A promotional announcement from Radio Free Long Island.
The return of Steve Blyberg.
Da-da-da-da-da. Although, actually, it was Tuesday night when he did that midnight show.
That's true. And what a classic show that was.
That's for sure.
And it'll never be heard again.
Well, speaking about time, it's about 10 minutes to one right
one
here.
Right one, here. Right
one right
here.
One right
here.
Right.
No,
dub style.
You never know what's going to happen. Sounds like an African chant or something. Oh, boy, that was good.
Boy, that one lasted a long time.
It did, yes. It really did. Well, we have all sorts of things coming for you. If you want to give our engineer a call, 246-7901 is our phone number. Area code 516. Our address, if you want to write to us and have us read what you scrawl on a piece of paper, is Radio Free Weekend,
WUSB
FM, State University of New York, at
Stony
Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794, and that is
within the United States of America.
That's true, so you don't have to add any extra postage.
Yeah.
Okay, well, stay with us. We'll be doing all sorts of fun things, as we keep promising.
Okay.
Okay, folks, you don't deliver, but okay, we'll keep promising we're going to do interesting things. We'll be back again in a few minutes to promise some more.
Do we have music?
Oh, yeah.
One,
hey,
two,
right here.
Three, four. Old age are the deeds of a man in his prime. You shuffle in the gloom of the sick room and talk to yourself as you die. And life is a short, warm moment, and death is a long, cold rest. Get your chance to try in the twinkling of an eye. 80 years with luck or even less. So all aboard for the American tour, and maybe you'll make it to the top. But mind how you go, I can tell you cause I know you may find it hard to get off.
I've been very hard to please, and I don't know wrong from right. But there is one thing I could never understand, some of the sick things that a girl does to a man. So I'm just sitting on a fence. You can say I got no sense, trying to make up my mind really is too hard to find. So I'm sitting on a fence. All of my friends at school grew up and settled down, and they mortgaged up their life. One thing's not said too much, but I think it's true. They just get married because there's nothing else to do. So I'm just sitting on a fence. You can say I got no sense, trying to make up my mind really is too hard to find. So I'm sitting on a fence. Trying to make up my mind really is too hard to find. So I'm sitting on a fence. The day can come when you get old and sick and tired of life. You just never realize maybe the choice you made wasn't really right. But you go out and you don't come back at night. So I'm just sitting on a fence. You can say I got no sense, trying to make up my mind really is too hard to find. So I'm sitting on a fence.
We're always willing to devote some time to people who come up with new and interesting ideas, and tonight we have such a person right here in our studios. His name is Richard Oromino of Lewiston, Idaho. Is
that correct? No, that's incorrect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Richard Lewiston of Oromino, Idaho.
Oh, I reversed the name in the town. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you see, actually, Lewiston and Oromino are two towns adjacent to one another.
Oh, I see. That's a very interesting coincidence.
Oh, it's not a coincidence. Actually, I don't know why I moved in there. People are always calling me for information for the adjacent town. Like, I'm kind of like a chamber of commerce under my own house.
That's too bad. Now, from what I understand, you've come up with a radical new idea concerning the way in which we shop.
Precisely, Eric.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. For hundreds of years now, Americans have been shopping in the same wasteful, time-consuming fashion. They go to one place to buy shoes, another to get clothes, and yet another to buy food. Mm. Now, oftentimes, these stores are miles and miles apart. So, as you can imagine, Eric, the waste in time and gas is just phenomenal.
Well, that's true, but don't they have...
So, you see, my solution to this would be to build a rather large center, kind of like a mall, like a shopping center, you could call it, that would house a number... shopping center that would house a number of different stores, and the people could just walk from one to the other.
Well, wait a minute. Don't they already have...
Just hang on there a minute, Eric. I know you have a lot of questions about my invention, which we can just get to after I finish explaining the rest of it. Now, these shopping centers would consist of what I call a supermarket. That's like a store where all the food you need forever in your entire life would be under one roof, instead of being scattered all over town the way they are now.
Supermarket.
Yes, supermarket. I realize it's different, but it'll take some time getting used to it. It's awfully inconvenient to have to go to one store for bread, another for milk, and yet another for meat. I'm sure it gets on your nerves now, doesn't it?
Well, not really, because it's been years since they've had...
Well, right. Now, in addition to this supermarket, there'd be a whole bunch of other stores, all sort of attached to one another. There'd be a place you could buy a newspaper, a coffee shop, maybe a delicatessen, a laundromat, drugstore, pizza place, maybe a hardware store, a Chinese restaurant.
Now, just let me get a word in here, Mr. Lewiston. Now, what you've just described is a typical modern-day shopping center.
Right. 20th century personified.
Yes, but they've been around for decades. I mean, I've grown up with shopping centers. You don't honestly expect me to believe it. You've just invented something that's been around for half a century, do you?
Well, how come I've never seen any of these shopping centers before now?
Well, probably because they've never gotten around to building them over in, what is it, Oromino, Idaho.
Well, confound it all. I really thought I had something this time.
Well, that's,
I'm sorry if I wasted your time.
That's okay. I mean, I see what, you know, what your mistake was.
You know, this is my life's dream to build a... I was into construction before. I built one of those delicatessens in the town near me, Nez Terce. And now I can't even... Who thought of that idea out here?
I don't know who thought of it.
And you said they've been around here for 50 years?
Oh, they've been around
years?
A long, long time. They're all over the place, on Long Island especially. It's kind of sad to see you come in here like this with your hopes up and then go out all dashed and sort of with your tail between your legs.
Sure is between my legs.
Listen, I wish there was something we could do. I can show you where a shopping center is. You can look at it.
Really? You mean there is one on this Long Island?
There are lots of them. There's one
lots
within
of them?
A mile of here. There are.
How many are there on this Long Island?
Oh, it must be hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds, at least. I'm afraid, Mr. Lewis, if you had come here...
I'm heartbroken.
50 years ago, maybe 60
years ago... 50 years ago, you didn't have radio.
With the same invention, though, you would have made a million
dollars.
Maybe
I could invent radio.
Well, so much for our special guest today. If you have invented something or you're thinking of inventing something, do give us a call, drop us a line here at Radio Free Weekend. As we said, we like to devote a lot of time to people with these ideas. And, Mr. Lewiston, I'm sorry once again that your idea didn't work out. But
not as sorry as I am.
Keep on thinking positive, and something is bound to come of it.
Thank you.
This is WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Radio Free Weekend would like to take this time to salute the impending school days. Music to celebrate the return of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, the return of school. Pomp and circumstance.
Isn't that the kind of thing you'd want to play towards May or June?
Well, yes, but it reminds you of what's coming up.
September,
and that leads to May or June.
It's terrible. We're in September already. Where did this summer go?
I don't know. I'm sure if we could find that out, we can make a bundle on it.
That's true. If we could preserve summer, just like some people preserve preserves.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, what are you doing in that studio? It sounds like you lost your chair or something.
No, I'm okay. We heard Pomp and Circumstance, March number 1, composer Sir Edward Elgar.
I knew it was an Elgar.
Oh, yeah. Pomp and Circumstance, March number 4, Abridged. And that was also composer Sir Edward Elgar. I cannot tell a lie. I took this from the soundtrack to The Clockwork Orange by Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
I cannot remember the exact moment in the film where that's played.
It's probably a graduation scene, I suppose.
There's no graduation scene in that film, but I'm sure it was played at something...
Probably when the rocket takes off.
Something very... rocket takes off?
Well, it sounds like the kind of music that would make you proud to be an American!
Except it's British music.
Well, it makes you proud to speak English, or...
Something like that.
Yeah.
Proud to watch the sunrise in western skies. How's that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's see the green, place it does rise.
See the green flash as Joel
it
Block.
It sets in all the other places.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, Mike, school is coming again. Not for you so much, but for a lot of us.
Oh, well, we're always learning.
That's true. We are always learning, and not always in school.
That's true.
Maybe you can recount to us some of the interesting experiences you've had. Now, we mentioned this before, that miraculously enough, we found out that we attended the same elementary school
at
for
the
one
same
year.
Time, yeah.
For one year.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny because I didn't stay in that elementary school much longer after that.
Yeah, because I was beating you up. I was the bully who always beat up on you.
Well, I didn't know you by name then.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to have to bring in that yearbook or something. Look what Mr. Eric looked like back in fourth grade.
Yeah, show it to the folks over the radio.
Yeah.
Well, that was... Scraggy Hill Elementary School, wasn't it?
Scraggy Hill Elm in Port Jefferson, New York.
Yeah, what a place that was.
And many years ago.
The first suburban school I went to. Because before that... before that I went to, PS's, that's what they call them out in...
Postscripts.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Queens, that's what they call them.
Wait a minute. It's in Queens, not out in Queens.
Well, it's out over west ways.
If you were in Manhattan, you would say out in Queens. But since none of our listeners right now are in Manhattan, unless they're listening to us on tape or some sort.
Well, all right. In Queens, then.
Okay.
I had to always write a heading on the top of my page. It said PS 95 in Queens.
In Queens, you had to write?
Well, maybe not the inn. It was something like that, something stupid.
Was your school named after somebody or something?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it
didn't have a name at all. It just had a big iron fence in the front of it.
So not like a Ward Millville High School.
No, it wasn't like that at all.
Or a Scraggy Hill.
No, no, no.
Or an Earl L. Vandermeulen.
It wasn't like that either.
Yeah.
Tell us something
about
schools in the city. It's really something how they all look like prisons.
Yeah.
They do. Out here, the schools look, you know, nice.
They look like schools.
Right. But in there, you know,
they look like miniature college campuses.
Iron fences with steel spikes at the top. And,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't like it when I went there for the first time.
What were you, how you were there for about 4 or 5 years?
Well, I started in kindergarten, and I made it all the way to third grade before I moved over to Port Jefferson for a while.
Huh.
It wasn't bad at that point. Now schools in Manhattan, I understand, are well, it's a fight for your life, but then it was pretty... Well, what do you expect? I was in second, third grade, but I don't know, these days things...
That's true.
...are even worse. So, now I'll be going back to Stony Brook this year. That's quite a kick.
Back to Stony.
That's quite a kick in this place.
That's good.
A lot of interesting things going on.
Yeah. What are you going to do when you get out of school?
Try to figure out a way to go back. No. Well, do something else that's interesting. Like I said before, you know, expand. Do something else.
Go to work for a company that'll pay your tuition.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
And I won't tell them that I'm already out of college.
Huh?
I won't tell them I'm already out of college, so they'll just pay my tuition.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll keep the money.
Okay.
No, we're only kidding. We're only kidding.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We don't mean these things.
No, we're not.
We don't do things like that.
Did I tell you what happened to me this week?
What?
Well, I have 3 phone extensions at work.
Uh-huh.
Somebody stole one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, stole it right off the wall of the lab.
That's not nice.
No, it's a very mean, nasty thing to do. Well said.
Yeah.
Hey, here's that music again. There it is. Just keep coming. Well, I guess we should say it's what, about 10, 15 after 1?
Something like that.
Yeah. Eric, you remember this week, I guess it was Tuesday morning, all those torrential rains. Well, you didn't have to go to work that day, did you?
Tuesday morning, there were torrential rains Monday night, and I was working then.
Oh. Well, Tuesday morning reminded me of a day I was driving to school. I went to Farmingdale College for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And it reminded me of this day I was driving to school. It was election day, of all days, that they hadn't canceled school because of the holiday. Driving in, it was raining really, really hard. And I went to go through this puddle, and... I have these holes in my floor, and the next thing I knew, my rugs in my car were floating.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Floating?
Yeah, so that's what you try to get to school to do. And once I got to school, I found out that they had canceled it because all the parking lots were flooded. And
how long ago was this?
This was 4 years ago, five years ago.
Was it in September?
No, it was in November. It was election day, I remember.
Oh, because I remember the first year I went to Stony Brook, there was a torrential rainfall like that one.
Uh-huh.
And the entire place was flooded like you wouldn't believe.
Oh.
I mean, I'm talking 4 feet of water in some buildings.
Yeah.
And doors that collapsed. It took almost a full year to get over it.
Yeah, right.
They had to cancel classes. it was crazy.
Right.
But a lot of fun, too.
Yes.
I never saw rain like that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come this week... To some people, it's already happened, but the school days will be coming back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, soon the...
Well, you see, I don't really mind so much...
Teachers and students and things like
and
that.
And bells. Now, I don't mind so much that school's coming back. It's just that what I do mind is that summer is disappearing, and summer is, like, my favorite time of year.
Yeah, but would you...
This is so boring. I'd just rather go in a hole and hibernate for the winter.
Would you like to live in a place like Florida where it's... always summer or Southern California?
Yes.
Really? I think I'd get bored down there. I really would.
I'd have a perpetual tan. I'd be at the beach all the time.
Yeah, but don't you like, you know, walking in the snow, too, kicking the leaves as they fall from the trees, watching the first buds of the spring?
I like that. But I'd rather see buds...
A hailstorm, a hurricane, a tornado, an avalanche. I mean, all the variety of the season.
That's true, but I'd rather... be in a place where it was nice and warm all year round. That's just my personal preference.
Where would you are? You're in your house, and you're in your place of work, school, and everything else. It's not as if you're standing outside the whole time.
Yeah, well, when I am outside, I get frigid. I mean, cold.
Yeah. Okay, we won't get into that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have some things that we're going to aim at.
And don't forget,
you.
We got the tripods coming up real soon,
yes,
too.
Oh, yes, the tripods. We shouldn't delay on them too much longer, but we do have some things that have to do with school.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff. Why don't we just get started with the Good Rats. So school days are just around the corner. September is here now, and soon the sound of merry children's voices will be heard in the classroom.
Laugh! 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 Come to order, please. Laugh! We are very privileged today to have a very special guest in our room. His name is Mr. Sedenko. And Mr. Sedenko is a narcotics officer. That's better, class.
Hey, Billy.
Now, Billy, where are you going?
I gotta go to the can, sister. I'll be right back.
You sit down, Billy.
Hey, no. Hey, I gotta go
you
to the
sit
can.
Sit down, Billy, and whatever you have in your mouth, swallow it immediately.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot, sister.
Hey, Billy, here, swallow these too, man. Fuzzball.
Now, class, I know that all you boys and girls here at Our Lady of 115th Street are too young to have any dealings with any of these dangerous drugs. But, as St. Dominic always said, O fili mi boni belli, dominus forbiscum beni selling all his dominoes. And with that, I want you to give Mr. Stadenko your undivided attention. Mr. Stadenko.
Thank you very much, Your Grace. And good afternoon, boys and girls. Thank you for inviting me into your classroom today. Now I have in front of me a green leafy substance which I am going to light. Now, I wonder, could one of you boys and girls guess what this substance might be?
Acapulco Gold!
No, it's Michoacan, man, Michoacan!
Homegrown!
No, it's Michoacan, man, Acapulco.
Well, that's very good, class. My sister, they do seem rather well informed.
Oh, they are, Mr. Stadenko, they are. Why, just last week I gave out 15 holy cards.
Well, that's great, sister. Okay, class. Now, as you know, this drug in front of me is what they call marijuana, or as it's known in the hippie world.
That's pot, man.
Pot, that's right.
Joint?
Joint.
Reefer, man.
Yes, reefer.
Yeah.
Yes, but we don't call it that. We have other words for it. Now, contrary to popular belief, kids, and let me level with you, this stuff can give you brain damage. Make no mistake about that. It can. I know they've had other tests where they say it doesn't harm you, but believe me, kids, this stuff is dangerous to fool with.
Don't look dangerous
and
to me,
remember,
man.
Only dopes use dope. Now, Debbie, class, are there any questions? Yes, the young fellow in the front row with the orange and purple shirt. You have a question?
Yeah. Hey, who cut your hair?
Class, now settle down, class. Now that wasn't very funny. Now settle down and give Mr. Stadenko your undivided attention. Mr. Stadenko.
Thank you, sister. Now, are there any more questions?
Yeah, man, I got a question.
Yes, you and the vest, is it?
Yeah.
You have a question, do you?
Yeah, man.
About the drugs.
Yeah, about the drugs thing. Hey, man, like I was watching TV the other day, man, and like they said, like if you knew some guy that was pushing like the drugs, man, and then you could call a telephone number and you could get a reward if you turn him in. Is that still on, man?
That's a very good question, son, and I'm glad that you brought it up. I was going to get to that. Yes, boys and girls, there is a program in which you can participate. Now, we are offering a reward for the pusher. Now, if there's anybody here has any information about a drug pusher, be it your brother or maybe even your mother and dad, if you give us your name, we will give you a reward for turning in the drug pusher.
Hey, man, how much is the reward, man?
Well, actually, son, I'm not, I can't disclose the amount. It depends on how much drugs are confiscated.
Well, then, like, but you have to tell the guy's name first, huh?
That's right.
Oh. Hey, well, I want to turn in Billy, man.
Hey, what are you talking about, man?
Hey, man, you told me that kid, man, wouldn't get a fly high.
Hey, I
want to
kill you, man.
Well,
you're
come on.
You're a stoner, you puke.
Well, come on, man. You told me that
stuff,
man.
I want to kill you, man.
Something about oregano, man.
Oregano.
I took it home, and I was selling it to my brothers and sisters, man. They wouldn't even get off on it, man.
Wait, if it's oregano, you beaner, you can use it in your soup.
Oh, yeah, who's that beaner? Come on, man.
You're
you
want to
touch
man.
It? Let's get down, man.
I'll meet you outside, man.
I'll need to go outside. Come on, let's
come
get
right
down.
Come on,
come on.
Right here.
Put your money where your mouth is, man.
Well, come on, man.
What's we'll that?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, take, come here, you puke. Quit running. Come on, get out of there.
Clap.
Quit hiding behind the stretcher. Come on, man.
Clap. Now, you boys, stop that fighting. Clap, settle down. Clap. Mr. Sedanko, help me.
It's all right, sister. I'll tell you what. We'll call the police.
Nitric acid. It's not mild like ivory.
Don't drink that formaldehyde, no matter how tasty it looks.
Don't try to get an extra dissection practice on your chums.
Don't bring a microfilm reader into the final exam. The proctor might get suspicious.
And don't innocently assume you can get the Nobel Prize by using your classmates to test those potions you whipped up. And recombinant DNA experiments may sound groovy, and you might think that you know what to do, but don't be a sap. Remember what happened in the Andromeda strain.
Now, I bet that at one time or another, we've all seen Frankenstein and said, "Say, that looks like a keen idea." Well, just hold your horses, fellas, because grave robbing isn't ethical. And I bet your prof would be mighty sore if he caught you using one of the instructional cadavers. So this is Spunky.
And Bunky.
So long, and don't play with blasting caps.
This is it, guys and gals, the new thing, the moving, grooving thing. You said school was a bummer? Well, baby, it ain't no more. This is Top 40 Education with the one and only Doc Rock. Now keep your ear pressed to that blackboard, because we're switching to English Central and Super Prof.
Gotta learn to dance before we learn to walk. Gotta learn to spell before we learn to talk. And Super Prof's here to please with the ABCs.
Super Prof, Super English Time. Correct this sentence. I want my pimples should clear up.
Tired of classes that keep throwing the book at you? Well, now you can sign up for one that'll let you use your own hands to make valuable objects.
By the time we got the wood shop, we were half a million strong.
Pick it out today.
You can judge the moon or take a balloon.
Science Man with a big B, biology. Today we're going to study bacteria. How we're going to infect ourselves with botulism right after this message.
And now a statement of editorial opinion from Mr. Harry W. Keister, general manager and principal.
It has come to our attention that large numbers of pupils have been walking in the halls without a pass. From now on, if you are caught in the halls without a pass, you will be shot. Thank you.
And now, the news.
Professor Scoop with the latest poop. A big fight in the second floor boys' washroom puts washroom monitor Bruce Purvis in the infirmary again. Sophomore chemistry lab is raided by the narc squad. The principal reports that someone has stolen his desk. And in the lunchroom, milk goes up a penny today after the threat of a strike by Bessie.
Oh, the good old days. The Muppets. in dub a little bit here on USBFM Radio Free Weekend. I'm Eric Corley along with Mike Juhas. And we also heard from the soundtrack to the film Rock and Roll High School. Yeah, let me just get some information on that for you. By P.J. Souls. You didn't hear the Ramones version. We heard the P.J. Souls version, which you might know if you saw the film. It's kind of an interesting story, a bit long to go into now. We also heard from the Conception Committee and Cheech and Chong and the Good Rats, all sorts of other people. We're going to be hearing from the Tripods in about 5 minutes, so stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. It's a fantastic new episode of the Tripods where they discuss where they're going to be going for vacation and something of concern to all of us. In the meantime, another trip down memory lane. This is Stevie Wonder.
What was in my door? Radio Free Long Island, by mutual authorization with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the impressive adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families in their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we last saw our friends, Howard and Kathy decided to go on a vacation, but did not decide where to go. We join them now as we hear Kathy saying...
Oh, this is so exciting. There's so many places I've been wanting to go to, Howard.
Yeah, me too, Kathy. That's where I think we should try and get the most out of the 2 weeks we have.
I'll say.
Do something adventurous and exciting,
Ooh,
too.
Oh, I could use a little excitement. In a good sort, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie, where's that atlas of yours? There are a few places I want to look at.
I have it right here. I figured you'd be needing it.
Oh, good. Let's look around a little.
Hmm. Oh. Stop there, Kathy. Oh, South America. Hey, that's one continent I haven't seen.
Oh, it's supposed to be lovely this time of year down there.
Yeah, look at all those different countries. You know, they're in a different time zone or something. Well, their seasons are different, I think. They have winter now and we have summer.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. And then when we have winter, they have summer. It's never the same.
So right now it's the end of winter down in La Pampa?
Well, it's the end of summer here. If it's the end of summer here, it must be the end of winter down there.
Really?
Yeah, it's like that below the equator. In Africa, it's like that. I think China is like that. That's below the equator. In Antarctica, it's now summertime.
You mean?
No, it's wintertime. I'm sorry. There are so many different countries down there anyway. I just don't feel I know the first thing about any of them.
Well, you've heard of Venezuela, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
And look, Argentina. Now, you know that one, don't you?
Look, there's Brazil over there. Everybody's heard about Brazil.
And Chile.
And
Peru.
Yeah, well, I've heard of all those countries. I just don't know the first thing about any of them. I don't know anything about the people. I don't even know what language they speak down there.
So
I wouldn't want to go into a country, or even a continent, where I don't know anything about what's going on down there. That's the only thing I feel kind of insecure about.
Oh, I see
How
what
about
you mean. I agree.
And they speak Spanish down there, don't they?
Well, some of them do. I think they also speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of got... Why would they be speaking Portuguese if they're not in Portugal?
Well, they should speak... Where, all over South America?
Oh, I don't know.
They should speak Brazilian if they speak anything, and Argentinian or...
Colombian?
Well, look at all these countries. They should speak... there should be a different... Well, maybe...
Mato Grosso?
Kathy, I guess it doesn't work that way because we don't speak American here. We speak English, and England is over on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, so... The name carries... That's what happens. The name carries over.
So conceivably, these countries were colonies... Of Portugal.
That could be, very well.
Ooh.
We are learning something about South America.
Ooh, look, Cordoba. Santa Fe.
Yeah, yeah. Buenos Aires, Rio Grande.
Ooh, Minas Gerais. That sounds like a tennis player.
Bahia. All right. Yeah, we're probably not even pronouncing these names right, Kathy. We'll make
Sao
fools
Paulo.
Of ourselves if we go down there.
Oh, I'm sure we
look would. Look at these little countries. Guyana and Suriname. That's kind of funny. I always thought Suriname was a part of China.
Oh, no. It used to be called Dutch Guiana, remember? Then they changed the name.
They don't speak Chinese in South America, Howard. Everybody knows that.
Here are two countries I've often wondered about. Paraguay and Uruguay. Two Guays. I wonder if they're at all related. Maybe brothers or sisters.
There's probably some sort of an old Greek legend or something that... Well, I guess it wouldn't be Greek. I'm not sure. But, look at this. This is something kind of interesting. That's pretty strange, actually.
What is it, Howard?
Well, look at Bolivia over here. According to this map, they have two capitals.
Really?
Yeah, and then you see one is La Paz over here, and the other is Sucre... Sucre or something like that right down there, you see?
That is a bit unusual. I wonder if they're allowed to do that.
Well, why shouldn't they be? We have 51 capitals over here in the States, don't we?
No. But, Charlie, what you're talking about are state capitals. We only have one national capital.
Right. That's Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Washington, D.C., yes. Yeah, now if a country our size can get by with just one capital... I don't see why a tiny place like Bolivia needs two. I wonder if the United Nations knows about that.
Well, now look, if we're going to start getting these countries into trouble, why don't we go to another part of the world when we do it, you know? After all, we don't want to be there when they find out they can't have two capitals because we reported them.
That would be a problem. Well, why don't you turn to Europe, Charlie?
Okay. All right. I think you'll be even more confused over there, though.
Why do you say that? Europe is the backbone of Western civilization. Just about everything around us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Europe.
Including people.
Oh, especially people. Every one of us has ancestors who lived in Europe at one time or another. Oh, I'll bet even you, Charlie, spring from European stock.
I don't like to talk about those kind of things, Kathy.
No, that's all right, Charlie. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, lots of people are touchy about their national origin. It's all a part of being American, I guess.
Mm, I'd like to explore Belgium. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just something I always wanted to do.
I understand. I was sort of hoping we could frolic through Yugoslavia.
You know what might be the best thing?
What's that?
If we just picked a town, a small little village, or in any country totally at random, and just live there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That's the best way to learn about another country. You know, you live in a town, you get to know the people, you don't fall into tourist traps.
Right.
That would be something,
you know, I like those little towns with interesting names, like this one in England. Actually, it's in Wales. Uh-huh. It's called Pontypridd.
Pontypridd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound good. How about this one over here in East Germany? You know how all the towns over there end in Berg or something? Like Hamburg?
Like Pittsburgh?
Luxembourg. Well, this one is just called plain old Berg, without anything in front of it, just Berg, plain and simple.
Ooh, well, how about that? Look, here's a town called Ro. That's R-H-O, in Italy.
Like, row, row your boat. Why don't you folks just go to hell?
Oh, Charlie, how could you say such a thing?
Oh, I didn't mean anything by that, Kathy. There's a small town in Norway called Hell. I thought everybody knew that.
Well, we're not going there.
And so, as we leave our friends, they still haven't chosen where to spend their vacation. You'll want to tune in next week when we'll hear Kathy suggest...
Oh, Calcutta!
That's next week on The Tripods, a production of Radio Free Long Island by mutual authorization with the Three Village Tobacco Farms. Substituting for the vacationing Don Topeka, this is Jeff Croton.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson from his new jazz LP, Jumping Jive.
Was that he on lead vocals that time?
I believe so.
Well, I'm going to have to add him to my scatalog.
Yeah, Jumping Jive, and we heard five guys named Mo.
Geez, if I'd have known we were going to be playing this kind of music tonight, I would have brought in my Widespread Depression Orchestra record. Have to bring that in next week. They're one of the finest swing bands in the Northeast.
This is
not the world.
I have to say, this is a fantastic album that Joe Jackson has just put out, and I'm really happy he did it.
Yes.
If he's out there, Joe, thank you.
And I think we determined that he's in Honolulu, right?
Oh, that's right. We tried to call him up. In fact, he's listed in the phone book, Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right in Honolulu, yeah.
He wouldn't accept our collect call, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We're at the time when we usually do the news. However,
since we're not here.
We are not here, even though we sound like we are. We are somewhere else. Well, I know what I'm doing. I'm driving a limousine somewhere in Long Island.
And I'm
right
probably
now.
At home listening to all of this.
You mean you don't have anything else to do on a Friday night?
You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
See, my Fridays have been busy for the last 6 months or so.
That's true.
7 months, I don't know.
So now you finally have a Friday off.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Who knows where we'll be at this time?
That's right.
Well, we do have a very, very competent person, though, standing by who's about to deliver the news for us. And I hope this is going to be a good newscast. I have a feeling it will be. What do you think, Mike?
I know it. It's just going to have to be.
Yeah. Now, this person is standing by right now. He's got a full newscast all prepared. He's just waiting for the second one. We're going to give him the signal to start now.
How do you know it's not a her?
Oh, that's true. It could be her, too. Them. They're waiting for the signal for them to start, which we could give it any time.
Well, why don't we give it right now?
We could do that, sure.
No.
We could say, go ahead and start, and then they'd start. Well, I guess we might as well. Why are we waiting for it?
Okay.
There's no point. We'll be back with the regular show after the news, which is going to be a very good newscast, okay?
So.
Newscaster,
go ahead and start.
Wake up in there.
Okay, well, let's just tell the newscaster to go ahead.
And introduce yourself and just read the news and stuff like that.
And what's the temperature in Stony Brook?
Pretend we're not even here.
Yeah, what is the temperature in Stony Brook?
Well, that was amazing.
That was a really nice newscast.
I was very impressed by that. It had a lot of substance to it. It didn't...
A great Albanian story.
Oh, yeah. It didn't lean at any point towards, you know, one thing. It just sort of, as soon as you started not to, have as much interest in a certain thing as you did at the beginning, it just moved right into something else.
That's true.
That was really nice the way that they handled that.
We should get a newscaster in to do our show every week.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think they
should have that newscast framed, because that was a good one. And if you folks just tuned in now, you missed a great newscast.
I'll say it was.
If you heard it... I'd suggest you call up and just tell the person just did this newscast how great it was. I thought it was amazing.
We should have that newscaster come back next week.
Do an encore.
Do all 3 hours of our show.
Okay, do that too, but do an encore of that newscast word for word.
Stand by the wire machine and read each letter as it comes off the press.
For sure.
Oh, boy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Boy, that was something. I can't get over that. I've heard newscasts for all my life, but that was just one of the greatest.
You can't do much better than that, that's for sure.
You could send a tape of that maybe to Walter Cronkite or, one of those guys out there.
Even they'd be impressed.
John Chancellor, they wouldn't be impressed. They'd use that as a model to follow.
Sadly, we can't send a tape to Lowell Thomas, but...
Yeah, that was very sad to hear about that.
89 years old, the poor guy was. But this newscaster is well on his way to becoming the next Lowell Thomas.
This is the future that we're hearing here. The future. The future of news, the future of radio programming.
That's true. And you hear it here, all on WUSB.
Stony Brook.
That's
radio
where we are.
Free weekend.
Yes.
And, we're going to get into our...
Well, wait a minute.
Classic album side.
It's been a while since we've mentioned who we were. And so somebody just tuned in.
I kind of forgot. I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm Eric Corley.
Then who am I?
You must be Mike Juhas, if I'm not.
No.
I'm Mike Juhas this week?
Yeah, let's make it that way.
All right.
And that makes... What does that make me? I forgot what you just said.
Eric Corley.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Eric G. Corley.
Yeah.
G for Gordon.
That's correct.
Right.
Well, I hope we managed to, to live up to what that newscast did before us. It's kind of hard to follow up an act like that.
Well, the only way we can do that is with an album side.
That's for sure.
So now, we can eat our pizza.
Yeah, it's here. We can enjoy that. Now, each week we play an album side in its entirety without any commercial or non-commercial interruptions. We don't do anything to it. We just let it play right through. It's not what you would call a top 40 album or even a mainstream album of any sort.
Well,
in most cases,
right.
We prefer it to be sort of a reggae album. No, not just a reggae album. A different type of album. Any type of music. It could be even talking. Could be weird sound effects.
Could be on that too. Yes.
We get a record contract someday.
Yeah.
It could be anything. So,
if anybody wants to offer us a record contract, you can write us. Radio
sure.
Free Weekend, care of WUSB.
Stony Brook. New York.
11794. And that's at the State University of
Stony Brook.
No.
Well, New York at Stony Brook,
right.
If you want to be technical.
Well, anyway, since we were talking about this album that we have for our listeners today, listeners suggested this album last week.
Yeah,
it's a really good suggestion. I like it. It's a Van Morrison LP, which, in fact, I own myself. It's I guess it came out in about 1972 or so.
I think you're right.
This, when Van
yeah,
Morrison,
it was 1972.
This came out when Van Morrison was still young.
St. Dominic's Preview.
Yeah, St. Dominic's Preview. We're going to be hearing, what side is it, two?
Side one.
Actually,
four tracks altogether.
And if you're at all sleepy, just wait until you get to the last tune, listen to the line. That'll definitely lull you right to sleep.
Leading up to that, we'll be hearing Jackie Wilson said.
Another traditional Van Morrison tune.
Also known as I'm in Heaven When You Smile.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy. That's a good song. I Will Be There.
Yes.
And, of course, Listen to the Lion. Now, don't fall asleep after that song, because we'll be back. And, maybe we should blow a trumpet or something in case people do fall asleep.
Okay.
Just to make sure. Don't get them falling asleep before the song.
Yeah.
We'd like to invite our listeners to call up while this record is playing. Tell that terrific newscaster that you'd like to hear an album side next week or the week afterwards. Give us an imaginative album side, and maybe we'll get to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to send us a letter, and send it to that above address that we mentioned before, which we're not going to say again because we say it too much.
Well, we'll say it at the end of this album.
Yeah, we'll say it at the end of the album side. But right now, without further ado...
Adieu.
I'm sorry.
Every week. Every week, you
I'm
say.
I'm sorry. We don't have to bring that up again, do we?
Yeah.
Van Morrison.
On USB.
Side one. Now, wait. Before we say on USB, we say on and side one of St. Dominic's Preview, and then on USB.
Oh, 90 point.
No, you leave that part out here. You say that later on afterwards.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's try it again. Van Morrison now with side one of St. Dominic's Preview.
On USB.
90.1.
FM.
Jackie Wilson said it was written to see. Kind of love you got, knock me off my feet. Let it all hang out. Oh, let it all hang out. Yeah, you know, I'm so wild up. Don't need no coffee in my cup. Let it all hang out. Let it all hang out.
out first. Where the sound of two guitars around the campfire bright. That mellow eye like old violin in the morning. I will be there.
tumbling down. my love comes home to me. Oh, listen. To the lion, oh, listen, 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 to the lion. And sadly, oh,
Jen.
I shall search my soul
Jen.
I shall search my
da 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 da
Yeah. That's Van Morrison.
Is it over?
You woke me up there.
Sorry.
That's.
You were right about that song. Wow, it does put you to sleep. I mean, it's a good song and everything, but it
just kind of like, well, I kind of hate to say it drags on. It does.
But that's what things that put you to sleep are supposed to do.
Yeah, and I suppose so.
It does a good job of it, I think.
I guess you're absolutely right about that.
Van Morrison. What a newscast.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
What a newscast that was. I still can't get over it.
Yeah, he's still talking about the newscast.
Yeah, that was something. We'll never get a newscast like that again.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, I uncovered the old station Atlas here that has been under some dust, and I happened to look up over in East Germany, and there is a Berg over there.
Berg?
Yeah, as...
Not a Berg, but a Berg.
Just a plain old Berg, as the tripod says.
Don't want to talk about it.
Well, I'm sorry, I do. You want to get out? Go ahead. Now... There's a row in Italy, R-H-O, just like they said.
As in,
Row you both?
I kind of, when I first heard that, I thought they said Rome.
No, well, there is a Rome, too, over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Rome in Italy, too.
It's funny you should mention that, because there's a Rome over here in I'm looking at the Texas map. There's a Rome over here that's spelled, and this is really funny, R-H-O-M-E.
I bet you there's probably one spelled R-O-A-M somewhere as well.
Probably.
There's a Rome in upstate New York, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is.
Can you imagine that?
I found paradise.
Where's that, in Pennsylvania?
I found out where paradise is. Oh, boy, they tried to keep this one for me. It's in Wise County. W-I-S-E, Wise County in Texas.
Huh.
Folks, if you want to go to paradise, that's where it is.
I think there's a paradise in somewhere in Pennsylvania, isn't there?
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, in the Amish country.
Well, let me look that up in the back. I don't think so.
Hmm.
But I'll look.
Yeah, would you? As well as, of course, Bird in Hand and the other familiar.
There's a Paris in Texas. There's a Paris in Illinois, Kentucky, Ontario, and Tennessee as well.
And there's a Paris in Maine.
Yeah.
Is it listed?
No, that one is not listed. It's funny, you know. Oh, yeah, there's a paradise in Nevada, according to this thing, but they don't list the paradise in Texas in the index.
Huh.
I don't understand this.
The nerve of these people.
I really don't understand it.
Is there a paradise Pennsylvania listed?
No, there isn't, but there probably is one. There probably is one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas has a lot of talent. They got a Pittsburgh over there. They got all sorts of cities. They got a Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, Texas?
Bridgeport, Texas.
Huh. Is there a Bridgeport, New Jersey, or is that just Bridgeton?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you can't look it up, huh?
No, it's probably too small to be listed here. Oh, that's really something. There's so many little towns, you know.
Somebody once told me that there's a Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. Somewhere up there. For a second there. For a second, I thought there was a county called ERA. But, no, they put a little dot in between it, and it's... Well, this makes even less sense. Erath, E-R-A-T-H.
Ooh.
Erath County. There's a county called Palo Pinto.
In California?
No, this is all in Texas. Parker County.
Oh.
Stevens County. Shackleford County.
That's not J.P. Stevens.
No, it's not.
Did you say Ramshackle?
No, Stevens either. No, I said Shackleford.
Oh.
Shackleford. There's a Reagan County, too, in Texas.
Hmm.
A Crockett County. A Schleicher.
I once knew a guy named Schleicher.
Yeah?
Something like that, yeah.
Practically in every state there's a Washington County or a Lincoln County or something.
Mm-hmm.
I found one over here in Texas. I'm sure... Oh, I just found a Lincoln. I just found a Lincoln. I was going to say, I'm sure if you give me like a minute I could find one. I found it even before I could say it.
You did.
They have one thing, though, that most states don't have.
Which is?
A coffee county.
Ooh.
Coffee county, yes. I'm looking for a tea county, but I don't see one.
I mean, there must be a... county that begins with the letter T. Well, anyway, let's just run down these tunes we heard again on this Van Morrison album.
Okay.
Before we forget, since I happen to have it in front of me, Jackie Wilson said, which is subtitled, I'm in Heaven When You Smile, Gypsy, I Will Be There, and Listen to the Lion.
Oh, no, wait a second.
I'll hear from your folks at USB. What?
Wait
what
a second.
Now?
This doesn't make sense.
You're still reading your bleeding atlas?
You're not going to believe this.
I bet you I won't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Oh, I made a horrible mistake here.
Oh.
I thought this was all Texas, but it's actually three states. Two states, okay, Tennessee and Texas.
They
sort of mixed them together here because it's alphabetical. I was about to say there were two Crocketts, but what I found was a Crockett in Tennessee and a Crockett in Texas. And that Washington and Lincoln that I found were both in Tennessee, so now I have to find them in Texas. And it'll just take me a second.
Oh.
Keep on talking.
Well, why? Because our folks at home can't see that.
No, they can't, but they can take our word for it.
Okay, well, then you don't have to find it. You can just say it.
No, I don't know that there's a Washington in Texas yet.
And there's a Yellow Rose in Texas
as well.
There's
a Death Smith.
Death?
Who would want to live in a county called Death Smith?
Oh, Death?
Yeah.
As in not being able to hear?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Death, as in not being able to live.
Maybe you should live there.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. There's a Coryell county, as in Larry Coryell.
Oh, really? Is there a Philip Catherine county?
I don't see one. I found a Montgomery, a Harris, a Brazoria.
Ooh.
It must be interesting living with so many counties. You know, if they ever make a Pecana County here on Long Island, at least we'll have, you know, another county to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's just Nassau, Suffolk, you know, it gets kind of boring.
Yeah.
A Gillespie County, how do you like that?
Dizzy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Is there an Ellington County?
I'm looking.
Basie County?
Now, that would be something if they named an entire state after, you know,
jazz musicians.
Jazz musicians.
A Lester Young County.
Or how about this? Housing developments, okay? They always have sections according to letter.
Yeah, like Society Housing in Terryville.
You're right. A few miles from here, there's a section that's named after cars. You have Impala Drive, Chevrolet Lane.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is. Look on a map and you'll see it.
Oh.
Now, why couldn't they name an entire development
after jets?
Louis Armstrong Avenue, huh?
Yeah. Miles Davis Road.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. You'd find all the prominent musicians of the time living there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, something to think about, and you heard it first here on
Radio
Free Weekend.
I can just see a John Coltrane Road.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think we have more John Coltrane records in our library here than any other.
Even Elvis Presley?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Without a doubt. It's almost a whole row of records in there. I think the best thing, the best one, without a doubt, would be Tommy Dorsey Boulevard.
Batman hasn't got a chance, although it's late. Cupid wakes and looks around for new romance, while the milkmen sink off pay. Down the Milky Way each morning, dance your cares away till dawning. Everything's great, eh? At the milkman's matinee. Thank you.
Milky Way each morning. Dance your cares away till dawning. Everything's great A at the milkman's matinee.
Just want you to be my guide. Don't want to a one time. Come in the two times, that's a two time. Come in the three times, that's a three time. It's a bit, make up your mind, don't stay behind. It's a bit, make up your mind, don't stay behind. Come in the one time, that's a one time. Come in the two times, that's a two time. Make up your mind, don't stay behind. It's a so come, so come.
So I love you, honey.
Your gusto, can't let me be the same. That one time, that a one time. Come in the two times, that a two time. Come in the three times, that a three time. But make up your mind, don't stay behind. Make up your mind, don't stay behind. Me tell your grump, so your grump. I hope you think the same, your cheek, so your cheek. I hope you think the same, your thumb, so your thumb. Yeah. Love is next to back, don't love.
How you do it?
The unmistakable sound of Dennis Brown from the Foul Play LP and On the Rocks. Before that, of course, June Lodge and Prince Mohammed with a special extended version which we made up here at the station, Someone Loves You Honey and One Time Daughter and all that stuff. Here on Radio Free Weekend, I'm Eric Corley with Mike Juhas, who is currently on a small vacation right now. He'll be back in a couple of minutes. We only have about, I guess, 5.5 minutes or so left, and then the next exciting program of the Radio Free Weekend will begin promptly at 3 o'clock. So keep your dial glued right where it is. You can get some of that mounting cement and just put it in place so, you know, in case you knock the radio over, it won't move the dial setting. Heaven forbid. In the meantime, though, this special advisory to stay away from all the scary monsters that are out tonight. You know what it's like. Friday night, Saturday morning.
She opens strange doors that we never close again. She began to whine, oh, jealous this scream. Waiting for the light, no one on me. Scary monsters, super creeps, keep me running. Thank you.
side and I stole a room. She asked for my love and I gave her a dangerous mind. Now she's stupid in the street and she can't socialize. Well, I love the little girl and I love her till the day she dies.
Scary Monsters and Super Creeps to watch out for from David Bowie.
Yeah, who else?
Dennis Brown, Prince, Muhammad June Lodge, all sorts of people, and Tommy Dorsey.
In a rub-a-dub styling.
Yeah. The only
Arua.
Way. The only way.
Aua.
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 Well, Mike, it's been fun as usual, this week especially. I'm just sorry I had to put you through all this heartache and everything of taping the show in advance, because I...
Well, it gives me a Friday night off, one I haven't had in many months.
Yeah, and I'm out somewhere driving, taking people back and forth to airports.
Yeah.
But I'm only doing it till Monday, and then I am free, and then I go back to school on Tuesday. So it's going to be quite a week.
So you don't really get any vacation at all?
No, I don't, but, you know, I try to find vacation within periods like that. It's sort of a...
Yeah, like take an hour vacation here.
Sort of like that.
Take a half hour lunch hour vacation here.
But even while a man is hard at work in hard labor somewhere, he can still take a vacation in his mind.
Really?
You think about that for a week. Ooh. And we'll discuss it more next week.
Next week I will bring my Widespread Depression Orchestra record, as well as I definitely like to get our dial a sound effect segment in next week.
That sounds good, too. And, yeah. We can play all sorts of other things. Anything. The sky is the limit. No, no.
No, we can go further than that.
There is no limit. No limit at all.
We can even play Perry Como.
So, call up whoever goes on after us and then tell them how much you enjoyed or hated the show. And
they'll leave us a note.
Yeah.
Or you can send us a telegram.
Or any other gram.
Any other gram.
What do you think of that?
Send us an any other gram.
We've run over again. Even on tape we run over. This is amazing. We're sorry to whoever, I guess it's Rob Zeiser.
Well, I hope
Rob,
so.
Rob, we're sorry if you're there. We're sorry. And if you're not there, whoever is there, we're sorry.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes. And you can't do anything. Well, no, he can't turn the tape off. Don't do that. I'm sorry. Let's just not.
He's probably not even listening. He's probably auditioning records. Or
yeah,
she.
That could be too. In any event, we'll all be back next Friday night, Saturday morning, 12:02
on the air,
12:02 a.m.
Yes, if you're smart enough to know the difference, that's my T-shirt says.
Radio Free Weekend continues now. All
yes,
weekend long.
Eric, it's been a pleasure.
You too, Mike. Bye bye.
This is WUSB
in Stony Brook
with portions pre-recorded.
You didn't have to say that, did you?
Well, I did anyway.
Huh.